Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, brothers? How you guys doing today?
We are good. Doing very well. And Charles, it's crazy right now in the AFC. At least six teams, or at least nine teams with six wins. The first time that's happened through Week 10 since the creation of the AFC and the NFC in 1970, so it's been nuts in the AFC. Where do you think the Titans fit in right now in that mix, in your mind?
I think, as you said, the number of teams with six wins, I mean, this is one of those seasons where you're either above average, good, you know, playoff caliber team around the fringe of the playoff, or you're just terrible. It's like it has been a very common theme this year where things are either, you know, fixable for you, or things are going great, or you're just bad at, you know, I think the Titans are in that fixable area. Obviously, you know, just from looking at how the standings stack up, they're on the fringe of the playoffs right now. But we talked about this last week. You know, there's every team right now, sans, I guess you could say, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, it has some issues. And even the Colts team that they faced last week, I mean, that team is by no means perfect. And, you know, I think the Titans are, I think they're a team that right now, if I was, after watching, I didn't watch every minute of the Colts game. I kind of sped through it and watched the cut-ups. And, you know, I think the offensive line is one of the things you got to fight. You have too many guys rotating in and out during the course of a game. Obviously, there's, you know, Taylor Lewan, losing him has significantly, I think, affected the unit. But not just that, you have other consistent players. Saffold, that's a guy you want. You don't want to have to rotate him out during a game because he's banged up. And I think that affects the chemistry of the team. And I think we've talked in the past, they keep harping on the pass rush. But you can't do that every week. And I think that offensive line, getting it settled, getting the chemistry where it needs to be, getting guys healthy is going to impact, you know, not only Ryan Tannehill, but I think the Derrick Henry snap count. There are a lot of different things on offense that would be affected by being able to get these guys maybe where they need to be down the stretch.
So what's different for Baltimore this year, Charles?
That's a really good question. I, you know, first off, you lose Ronnie Stanley. Like, welcome to what your offensive line looks like when you lose a franchise left tackle, a top five left tackle. And, but you know, Marshall Yanda is another guy that I think people forget that Yanda made a big difference on that offensive line. Like, obviously he retires, but, he was still a very, you know, high yielding performer for them. You take those two guys out of that offensive system and it affects your ability to run a lot of the run schemes. They do a lot of things off play action. I think that's when Lamar Jackson's at his best. Everybody thinks it's when he's creating, or no, it's their whole game last year when they were really killing it. It was a lot of play action. They had dominant running, not just from Lamar Jackson, but, you know, you had Mark Ingram and that entire backfield, I think, has struggled. I think that has to do, it's kind of similar to the Titans. I think there are times when the Titans have struggled offensively. It's just because of the injuries on the line. And the fact that they're rotating different guys in there, they're moving personnel around, trying to figure out how to settle things down. And it's completely impacted their chemistry. And the first thing people look at is the quarterback, and that, you know, Lamar Jackson has struggled at times throwing the football. I don't think Mark Andrews has had the impact that they thought he would this year. I think they really thought he would ascend to, I think he would take sort of that big leap. Maybe Jonnu Smith, you know, has taken in some respects with the Titans. They thought Mark Andrews was going to be number one, two, three in that tight end realm this year, and that hasn't happened. And it's just affected a lot of different things, but it starts up front with the losses on the offensive line. Every team, I'm telling you, this year, one of the big takeaways from the pandemic season is just, and I think it's focused a lot on what has happened over the last few years with the draft. It's become harder to draft offensive linemen, and now it's a lot harder to adjust when you start to lose some of your best offensive linemen. Chemistry-wise, you start shuffling guys around, and it's just not as easy because the offensive line position is completely different now in college than it used to be, and that pipeline has been affected to the NFL. Dallas Cowboys, another team where the second they lost, you know, Tyron Smith at left tackle and Lyle Collins at right tackle, it destroyed their entire season. It destroyed their offense. It, you know, I think part of why Dak Prescott ends up getting hurt because he's trying to create things out of the pocket and running. And it's this year, even with the expanded, you know, practice squads, the one thing I hear consistently from teams is just like, man, we got to figure out some kind of an outside developmental entity to keep the flow of offensive linemen out there for us in terms of street free agents and who we have on our practice squad.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson for a second because there's this theory that's being tossed around now by some in the league that maybe the league has figured Lamar Jackson out and maybe that the way he plays the game doesn't lead to long-term success. What do you make of that, and what have you seen out of Lamar this year? Obviously, winning the MVP last year, the numbers haven't quite been the same.
Well, I you know, that's the thing is that we continue to focus on Lamar Jackson, and you know, he's starting to have some of these passing issues again. Like, Lamar still had a pretty good season. It's just functionally that offense again. I think you got it. The offensive line, any quarterback. Okay, let's go back to the Colts game just to kind of compare this to the Titans. Ryan Tannehill's had an absolutely fantastic season. Okay, well, I can just tell you from, you know, quickly going through that Colts game, I would say he probably had 7 to 10 probably pressure snaps, and it dramatically impacted his effect. I can't tell you specifically what his percentages were on those pressure snaps, but they weren't good. They were not good. And that, again, I think leads into the problems with the offensive line. You lose a key anchor guy, and then you start to have other dependable pieces that are not, you know, 100% in that game that are coming in and out of the lineup, you know, at various times. And the, you know, Baltimore's facing some of the same things. Like if they can't have the play action, you know, scheme that they had last year effective, you know, it's going to impact Lamar Jackson's ability to, you know, go through his reads effectively. I'll say this too, Greg Roman, it was interesting because the OC there last year became a really hot commodity, and people who knew him really going all the way back to the Harbaugh days in San Francisco said to me, I remember distinctly late in the season last year when I was asking about Greg Roman as a head coaching candidate. And they said, go back to when he was really, you know, having an impact in San Francisco with Harbaugh. And they said, he did not adjust well once people sort of figured out what they were doing with Kaepernick. And, you know, some of the things then that were sort of considered ahead of the curve offensively, they're like, Greg's got to figure out a way to not just be linear. He has to continue to tweak his system as the season goes on and adjust. And that's what's going to make him a great head coach if he becomes a head coach. I'm hearing the same things this year with Baltimore. They're like, man, it's very linear. They're running a lot of the same stuff. And then you hear obviously Lamar Jackson say, hey, we've got people on defense calling out our offense when we're at the line of scrimmage. And that has echoes back to the San Francisco days where people sort of figured out the things that they were running with Kaepernick. And you can't have that. And it's the second you hear that about a coach, you start to wonder, okay, is the head coach going to begin to think like, hey, all right, what do we have to adjust around the OC? Or is there going to have to be an adjustment with this OC moving forward? The Rams, Wade Phillips was great with the Rams until he wasn't. And all of a sudden I started to hear on, you know, from their coaching staff, hey, he's running a lot of the same base stuff. He's not creative. You know, he's great, but we can't just keep going, hey, here's our 11. You know what we do. We're just going to beat you at what we do. That's not the NFL anymore. And that's a little bit of what's going on with Greg Roman right now. You know, our sets, you've seen what we run last year. Our cutups are very similar to what we did last year. We just don't have as good an offensive line and can't impose ourselves. And now we're not adjusting. And I think that hurts Lamar Jackson. So first guy who gets blamed is the quarterback. And I guarantee you, if what's been going on with the Titans, you know, pressure-wise and with that offensive line, you'll hear people start, particularly nationally, start to talk about Tannehill when it's not necessarily a Tannehill problem, but that's the first sort of default that a lot of people go to is always the quarterback. And I personally think people have been waiting to pick on Lamar Jackson since he's come into the league. He's been a 50-50 guy. Some people thought he could succeed. Some people thought he could fail. And it ebbs and flows with his successes or failures.
No, that's a great point. And we've heard some Tannehill sucks today, actually,
on
the show.
Go look again. I cannot say this enough. Like, for the fans who think he sucks, again, go look at the pressure snaps. That's what really matters. And look at his effectiveness on pressure snaps and decide whether or not you're going to blame that all on him. It's unfortunately that's how it is. Like, quarterback, it's the easiest guy to pick on instantaneously when every single franchise, and I think I've told you guys this before, when I go through training camp, you always have one team to the next ask about offensive linemen. What about offensive linemen depth? Is anybody going to cut loose? Who do you think is going to be available? How's this guy playing? Why is this guy still on the street? Because that just corrupts everything offensively for you, no matter how good your quarterback is. Once they get hit, it dramatically impacts them. I'm sorry, but go look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady's had great games this season. He's had terrible games this season. The worst game he had this season, watch how many times he gets hit and decide how effective he really is. He goes to crap when you hit him. And so I'd urge people, look at how the offensive line has been shuffled. Saffold's a really, really important guy. I don't think he's 100% in any respect. You lose an anchor tackle. This is how it goes. And the Ravens, remember, that was the toast of the town, that offensive line last year. You know, you lose a top-end guard, you lose a top-end tackle, and it completely destroys a lot of the things that you do. Because if you keep doing the same things, if you're not beating people doing the same things and just, you know, like I said, manning up and imposing yourself, you have to change functionally the scheme to adjust to those injuries. And that's not easy to do midseason.
You mentioned Jim Harbaugh, and I'd love to know right now, because it has become a topic in college football about his future at Michigan. Yeah. Is he a commodity in the NFL right now?
let me put it to you this way. The only place on earth that I have heard Jim Harbaugh is a commodity in the NFL is at Michigan. I think they hope he's a commodity. I really truly do. I don't think Michigan wants to fire Jim Harbaugh in any respect. I think they want an NFL team to come and get him and hope that it kind of resolves itself that way. And I just don't know if that's the case. I really don't. I haven't heard anybody out there that says, hey, we look back at, you know, the things that Jim was doing, and now we feel like, you know, he's perfect for our game now. He just isn't someone that 4 or 5 years ago, he was still a hot commodity. I have not heard that since. And I would tend to believe that if he were hired as a head coach in a franchise right now, it would be an extreme amount of criticism, and I think a lot of people would go back and look at those San Francisco teams and go, they did some good things offensively. The league appeared to catch up to them. And then, oh, geez, everybody forgot how great those defenses were for San Francisco at the time that, you know, he peaked out in San Francisco. Never mind the fact that, you know, he burned out relationships there and you had all that. And then he went to Michigan and name a quarterback he developed. Name one quarterback that he's developed at Michigan. You're going to hire that guy? That's who you're bringing in? I don't see it.
Sounds like a Lions hire to me, Charles, but we'll see.
that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Charles, last thing for you here. Saints moving forward the next little bit here without Drew Brees. Could we see a famous Jameis Winston resurgence in his career the next couple of weeks in New Orleans?
That one's going to be interesting. So I talked to somebody with New Orleans yesterday and said, you know, okay, so what's the deal? Like, who's your quarterback? And he told me, he said, Sean Payton's, he's being really indecisive right now. So they had a meeting And I think that people walked into that meeting feeling like, okay, we're going to come out of this knowing, is it going to be Jameis? Is it going to be Taysom? Or are we going to have to figure out how to balance these two guys? And it sounds like Sean wasn't ready to commit, you know, that he wanted to look at some things. And I know Sean came out and kind of suggested, well, we don't want to name our quarterback now. You know, all that does is give a team a chance to prepare for us early in the week, and we're not going to do that. I think there's some indecisiveness there that's stopping him from, like, remember, it really isn't until tomorrow that I think it becomes overtly obvious, you know, who the quarterback's going to be. I think they'll try to go with both guys, and I think the problem they have is, although Sean looks at Taysom Hill and thinks this is the starting quarterback that, you know, we can groom into the position, he has a package set for Taysom that then they would have to take away if he becomes the starting quarterback. Whereas Jameis is the better passer right now. They know that. The guy I talked to yesterday was like, look, it's clear in a way he's the better passer. And then it also gives them the ability to keep the Taysom package on the field. So I think they're going to try to thread the needle here and use both of them. I'd be surprised if he just outright named Taysom. Although I do think there is a sense in the building among some people who believe, like, hey, you know what? Give Taysom a shot. He struggles and it doesn't work. You have Jameis as the fallback, and that sort of resolves in our mind where we're at moving forward. Maybe Jameis becomes a little more of a priority in terms of the future, and Taysom becomes what he is, sort of an H-back, you know, gimmick guy, and we figure out, you know, how to move forward beyond Drew at some point. But, man, I will say this, the Drew Brees thing, that injury is, I mean, multiple broken ribs on both sides of your cage and a punctured lung. That is a new one on me to ever see a guy that just jacked up and continue to play a game.
Ugh, does not sound fun whatsoever. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Charles, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Stay safe this week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You as well. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans. Who does Sunday's game mean more to, the Titans or the Ravens? We'll debate on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.